The instrumentality of that hate is the gun.
That's where the majority came from. So this argument that there was this revolution, I think it might sound good for sound bites, but when you peel back the evidence, there's not a lot to substantiate it.
Yeah, what I want to do is have the president held accountable in a way that's going to work.
Hi again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we hear from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo about the weekend's mass shootings in Texas and Ohio. Longtime Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal is trying to fend off a Democratic primary, and two Hudson Valley congressmen have different ideas about impeachment. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is calling on Congress to take immediate action on gun control in the wake of the El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio mass shootings over the weekend. Our Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt has more.
Cuomo appeared on several television and radio shows, including on Albany Public Radio Station WAMC, where he said Democrats need to speak in one unified voice about the need to ban assault weapons, strengthen background checks, and take other steps to keep guns out of the hands of domestic terrorists.
And get the Democrats to sign on to one set of proposals so the public is not confused with this Chinese menu of options. Here's the Democratic bill. Senate, Congress, and the presidential nominees all on the same page.
U.S. Senator from New York and Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for Congress to end summer recess and return immediately to Washington to act on gun control measures, including one to enact universal background checks. That was approved by the House earlier this year. President Trump, in his remarks to the nation Monday morning, condemned racism, bigotry, and white supremacy, and he said the nation stands unified against the shooting incidents. Cuomo calls the speech one of the great acts of hypocrisy, saying the president has made racism his stock in trade through his prior remarks and tweets. Trump supports the death penalty for those who commit mass murder, and he says the U.S. should enact what's known as a red flag warning measure. That permits a judge to order removal of a person's weapons if they're determined to present a danger to themselves or others. But Trump stopped short of advocating for a ban on assault-style weapons, saying mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun. Cuomo takes issue with that.
The gun had the trigger. The gun is the trigger. Yes, hate is the problem, and mental illness is the problem, but the instrumentality of that hate is the gun, and it's both elements that have to be addressed.
Cuomo says that under his urging, the New York State Legislature enacted strict gun control measures 6 years ago in the wake of the Sandy Hook, Connecticut school shooting. Assault-style weapons are illegal in New York. Cuomo says the laws have not hampered the rights of the state's gun owners and hunters.
No legal owner has been deprived of a gun. None of these fears that paralyzed the debate were realized. So the 6 years experience, New York shows what you can do. And again, it is a laboratory of democracy. And you can pass smart gun control laws that respect the rights of legal gun owners.
Earlier this year, lawmakers enacted a red flag law for New York. Last week, the governor signed into law a number of additional gun control measures, including imposing penalties against gun owners who live with children younger than 16 if they don't keep their weapons locked up. Another measure requires that a purchaser wait up to 30 days to buy a gun if there's something in their past that warrants a more thorough background check. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
As longtime Western Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal faces a Democratic primary challenge, political groups in Berkshire County are responding. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes reports.
When news broke that Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse planned to challenge Democrat Richard Neal in the 2020 primary for the 1st Massachusetts District, Neal received a chorus of support from the Berkshire State Legislative Delegation. One of those voices was 1st Berkshire State Representative John Barrett. Neal has been in Congress since 1989.
I've listened to people say that he has not been in the area. He has been in the area. And I can speak from the prior congressman, who was one of the best, Silvio Conti. And Richie Neal ranks right up there with him and what he has brought back to this district.
Elected officials stress the significance of having a local representative in a position of power as Neal chairs the House Ways and Means Committee. but some political organizers are excited for change. Dennis Powell, president of the Berkshire County branch of the NAACP, had harsh words for Neal when the congressman declined an invitation to debate his 2018 primary challenger, Springfield lawyer Tahira Amatul Wadud.
As a public official, I thought, you know, that it's your obligation to communicate to people that you want to vote for you. And I think people have a right to know what your agenda is, what issues are near and dear to you, and for you to hear what issues are near and dear to the community.
Powell characterized Neal's Berkshire presence as little more than, quote, photo ops in the county. At the time, Neal explained that a scheduling conflict prevented him from attending the debate. The NAACP president says Neal then did not return for a follow-up meeting with the branch and has not been in contact since. Powell says Morse attended a community event in Pittsfield's West Side in July.
And he just didn't come and go. He actually stayed at the gathering, I would say, probably a good 2.5 hours, really talking with people, getting involved, and really just enjoying the festival for what it represented.
He underscored that his observation about Morse's community involvement did not constitute an endorsement from the NAACP. Another local group cheering on Morse is the Berkshire chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America.
We would be particularly interested in seeing someone replace Representative Neal like Alex Morse, because Representative Neal is completely out of touch with the 1st Congressional District of Massachusetts.
Amelie Koster is the communications coordinator for the chapter. While the group hasn't endorsed Morse, Koster says Neal deserves a challenge.
Filings have shown, people have reported that he is, you know, by far considered one of the more corporate Democrats, very moderate, and that he's taking a ton of PAC money from the corporations that are making things difficult for our community and the nation at large, in particular the healthcare, insurance, real estate, and Wall Street industries.
The Berkshire DSA spokesperson described Neal as insulated from voters in his district.
Whereas someone like Alex Morse, has made politics accessible to the public. He's knocking on doors. He's really engaging the Spanish-speaking population in Holyoke, and that's something that really excites us.
Neal, speaking to reporters in Pittsfield after a closed-door meeting with District Attorney Andrea Harrington in July, pushed back against the idea of a progressive tide coming within the party, citing congressional victories in 2018.
I think that in a sense that the narrative that was created by the national news media a year ago was that there had been this huge change in the national dialogue. But when you look at the retention rate for incumbents and you look at the members of Congress that got elected in new districts that beat Republicans, four in New Jersey, four in Pennsylvania, one in Kansas, one in South Carolina, one in Oklahoma City, and four in Orange County. That's where the majority came from. So this argument that there was this revolution, I think it might sound good for sound bites, but when you peel back the evidence, there's not a lot to substantiate it.
In 2018, Neal easily defeated Amatul Wadud, taking in almost 50,000 votes to her 20,000. The former Springfield mayor is seeking a 17th term. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
While former special counsel Robert Mueller recently testified before the U.S. House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees about his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. And two Democratic New York congressmen from the Hudson Valley are providing their takes on whether to move forward with an impeachment inquiry against President Trump. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn has more.
Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney of the 18th District questioned Mueller on the president's refusal to testify in person and Mueller's decision not to use his legal authority to issue a subpoena.
They believe they had sufficient and adequate evidence of the president's intent to obstruct justice. They wrote that down. Go read it. That's what it says. Now, remember, he couldn't conclude that the president committed a crime because he separately found that the Justice Department is prevented from prosecuting the president, and he said there was a, quote, fairness concern, which prevented him from accusing the president of a crime if he wasn't going to be given an opportunity to defend himself the way he would in a prosecution. Therefore, it's my theory that the that, and that's what I was asking him, was that did you not interview the president because you thought you had sufficient evidence of intent to obstruct justice? I mean, my gosh, they lay out 10 instances of it in volume two, at least three occasions where all the elements are specifically met. And I think the special counsel thought he had put enough evidence in that report that he didn't need the interview with the president. And it seems clear to me that, well, he could be forgiven for thinking the attorney general would care about that or that the Congress might act. And I think he weighed, therefore, the significant delay that a litigation around interviewing the president would have provoked against what he thought was a report that had sufficient evidence of what the president did and didn't do to obstruct it.
Since that, since testifying, there have been more Democrats who are saying, let's start this impeachment inquiry. Are you going to be in part of that camp?
Yeah, what I want to do is have the president held accountable in a way that's going to work. And I think the president's actions merit removal from office. The question is what's the best way to do that? We can chase our tails on an impeachment inquiry, but we all know the Republicans are morally bankrupt on this subject in Washington. They're not going to lift a finger to hold the president accountable. And therefore, it would be, I believe, largely fruitless and highly partisan, and it would consume the next year with all that when, in fact, we have an election coming up. What I want to do is I want aggressive congressional oversight. I want the truth to come out. I want to make clear that no one is above the law. There can't be any cover-ups. American people ought to see everything that's in the Mueller report and understand who they got in the White House. And I believe that's the best way to let them make the right decision next year. And that's the way to hold this president, any president, accountable for misconduct in office, if you don't have the practical support on a bipartisan level to move forward with impeachment. So I know a lot of people are saying a bunch of things about impeachment. I think there's a lot of politics involved in this issue. You know, what I want to do is hold the president accountable in a way that's going to work. And I think the best way to do that is to make our case to the American people next year.
And not via press release saying you are calling for a formal impeachment inquiry.
Well, listen, what I have said is that, and I'm not mincing words about it, that I think the president deserves to be impeached. I think his conduct is appalling and inexcusable, and he needs to be held accountable. The question is what's going to work? The question is, you know, if you force me to vote on impeachment, I'd press the green button. But if you ask me whether that's the best way to spend our time and the best way to effectively hold the president accountable, I think you're going to go to DEFCON 1 in a partisan circus. It's going to make the Brett Kavanaugh hearings look like a day at the beach. And the fact is that the Republicans aren't going to budge on this because they're morally bankrupt on this subject in Washington, I regret to say. And therefore, even my most progressive friends tend to admit that it would be a fruitless exercise. They just feel like they want to do it. And I certainly understand that frustration. I want to do what's going to work in addition to what feels good. And that involves removing the president from office in the 2020 election because he deserves it, because he's been a terrible president, and we can do a lot better.
Congressman Antonio Delgado of the neighboring 19th District says he wants to continue the investigation and public hearings, but has not publicly supported impeachment proceedings.
I still believe that the way forward here is to continue with our current posture, which is to investigate, you know, with our traditional means.
Delgado, who beat incumbent Republican John Faso in 2018 in the swing district, says this hinges on cooperation from the Trump administration.
I don't want to be in a position where I feel like, you know, my responsibilities as a congressman are being steamrolled by the administration. And so we have to figure out as we move forward here how we can continue to educate and inform the public on what in fact has transpired here through our public hearings, as we are currently doing, and then weigh that against what the president and the administration is doing to make it more and more difficult to do that. And obviously, if that becomes a scenario where we reach an impasse, and then we have to make the appropriate decision.
Delgado spoke on the subject during a conference call with reporters about his August in-district work period. Democratic New York House members Paul Tonko of the 20th District, Nita Lowey of the 17th District, and Elliot Engel of the 16th District support impeachment proceedings against the president. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.